Good morning, this is Charlie.
Charlie, it's Jim O'Brien. Hold on, let me hit your theme song for you. I think you should be required to come out for all drivers' introductions to the Speed Racer theme. I think the Indy Racing League should embrace that, Charlie.
I think the Speed Racer theme song is one of the greatest theme songs out there. if they did walk-up music like they do in Major League Baseball, I think Cakes Going for Distance or Right of the Ball Crease would be a great one as well.
That would be a fantastic one, man. That would definitely. You could come out to song number two by Blur.
That's a good one.
See? Woo-hoo. Well, there you go. Nice, that one. I noticed something, and I got smacked by some IndyCar people because they said the front end of the new car from the side looks just like the Mach 5.
I mean, it's
little,
a winner.
Little bit. I mean, which, in a good way. It looks cool.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. I think the new car this year is definitely sleeker and looks faster, and it's definitely racy.
So if you're going to start a new team, if you're going to join – and Carlin Racing, people are going like, it's a new team. I'm like, okay, maybe new to Indy, but they're not new to motorsports by a long shot. If you're going to do this, though, this seems to be the year to do it with the change in the new platform, right? Does that make sense?
I think it does. It means that everyone's learning the new car from the ground up. So at least we only have the mechanical side of the car to learn, where in years past, if Carlin had joined IndyCar last year, they would have the mechanical and the aerodynamics to learn to try and catch up. Everyone is starting on a similar footing on the aerodynamic front.
Now, I know St. Pete didn't go exactly the way you guys wanted with you and Max, and we understand, but I got to be honest, as a fan, it was a great race to watch, but it was a weird race. There were so many strange things going on during that race, the timing of cautions and everything, that as a driver, it must have been hell to try to figure out what the hell was going on.
Yeah, the rhythm of the race at St. Pete was a little unique. It was up and down, and there were some things going on. And as a team, I was really proud of the effort that Carlin put in to get there. And then the job they did over the course of the weekend was very, very impressive. I mean, both cars really ran flawlessly all race weekend long. So overall, you know, the results maybe not exactly what we were looking for and not what we're aiming for. But at the same time, for race one, it was extremely impressive.
Do you feel these cars, these cars this year, Charlie, maybe you guys can walk them in a little bit more during the race?
There's the opportunity to develop the car continually. With the less downforce, the car, it slides around, your hands are faster, you bounce around a lot more. You really have to be paying attention to keep on top of the wheel. It's going to be interesting as we go out throughout the course of the year at the different racetracks. I think when we get up here to Detroit, it's going to be a completely different animal than somewhere like Barber Road Course or the road course at the Indy GP. And especially coming off the month of May, you know, 3 weeks worth of oval running, heading into a street circuit, it's going to be a different mindset.
Well, and we always love to watch here in Detroit. Obviously, we're partial to, you know, to having the Detroit Grand Prix, DetroitGP.com. But, Charlie, I always like there's that little bit of underlying, somebody got, pardon my French, screwed at the 500, and you're always wondering in the back of your head, is there going to be payback? Are you aware of that during the week leading up to the Detroit Grand Prix?
There are always those drivers that feel like they got slighted in the 500, and because it is such a big race, it's polarizing, and it definitely adds tension heading into the Chevy Detroit GP. All week long, you sort of, because it's a short week with Memorial Day on Monday and the banquet Monday night, and then coming up here on Thursday, you get a short week to rest and recover after multiple weeks at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So everyone's a little tired, a little touchy. You know, a lot of people feel like they didn't get the result they wanted at the 500 because really there's only one guy that's happy coming out of the Indy 500. and they're still wearing a milk mustache by the time they get to Detroit. And so you do add that element into it. And racing on Belle Isle, it's a street race. I mean, and inevitably it turns into a bit of a street fight just because we are so fast and through the concrete barriers. It is bumpy. It's a challenging weekend. And doing a doubleheader, the Chevy duels mean that by the time you get to Sunday, you know, pardon the pun, but people don't have a whole lot left in the tank. There's
exactly.
not a lot of gas left in the tank.
Well, I remember Dan Gurney said years ago that he wanted people want to see the driver fight in the car. I want to see you working behind the wheel. I don't want the car to overwhelm the technology of the car to overwhelm the abilities of drivers. And that's one of the things that you mentioned it earlier. I'm really intrigued to see even this Saturday night with Phoenix. You're going to be working on that track because even at night, that is a fast, tight oval. I mean, what speeds are you going to be hitting? 150, 160 around there?
At Phoenix, as fast as it is, we'll be maybe not at the end of the race, but definitely during qualifying, we'll be up around the 190 mile an hour average mark.
At Phoenix?
At Phoenix on a 1 mile oval.
Yeah,
it is fast. It is tight. It is an aggressive place. But as you said, the cars will be having to work it as the tires wear, as the fuel burns off. I think you saw it at St. Pete that the cars are more lively. On the oval, it's going to be exactly the same way.
Do you, by the way, at St. Pete, one thing, I hope next year when they come back to St. Pete, would they get that paint off the one going into turn one that everybody was just looping the cars on over and over and over and over?
Well, the challenge is it's an active runway for most of the year. So they have to figure out how to keep the paint there, but give it some more grip so that we've got the opportunity to use the brakes a little bit. It was something we all talked about because it was different this year.
Oh, I saw. Every race is going to be different for you, I'm sure, at Belle Isle. How do you I know we got Charlie Kimball with us here. How do you recalibrate on road courses for braking zones? Because you are driving a different car with different characteristics in a group versus on its own. I mean, you have to get to Belle Isle. And like you said, coming off the Indy 500 and that whole month, you don't have a lot of time to get this car set maybe the way you want it.
It is. It's a short weekend with the doubleheader, practice on Friday. I mean, it's free pre-Friday, so people can come out and watch us practice and qualify for free on Friday. You don't have a lot of time to get the car right. And coming off the Indy 500, it's been since Long Beach that you've been at a temporary street circuit. So it is a challenge, but that's why it's such a great race as well, because people are learning and making the most out of it. I think last year, I mean, you saw a driver win both dual races back-to-back.
Graham was awesome.
Right.
Yeah.
There are a lot of points on offer.
Charlie Kimball with us, Carlin Racing. You sound great, man. You sound like you're pumped up and ready to go this year.
I am. I'm excited. It's new beginnings, a new number, the number 23 for me this year.
Car looks great.
It does. I think the new bodywork itself, it's sleeker. It looks faster. The 23 car with the Novo Nordisk branding is, I mean, I think it's a great looking car, but then I'm probably biased. So I'm excited for these three races back to back and then getting into the month of May and, you know, bringing some great momentum up here to Detroit for the Chevy Detroit Grand Prix presented by Lear.
And you'll be here tonight, actually, be out at the Pistons game. Are you going to shoot any baskets or just go out there and kind of, you know, wave at everybody?
Well, there's a reason why I'm a racing driver and not a basketball player. So if the Pistons are smart, they will just let me deliver the game ball and not shoot a single basket. But I'll be there at Little Caesars Arena starting at 6 o'clock, signing autographs, taking photos. I think there'll be a show car. If the snow clears out, there'll be a show car just outside.
It's April in Michigan. The weather will change 27 times by the time you make it to Little Caesars Arena. Okay.
Fair enough. Yeah. If you don't like it, just wait 5 minutes.
Exactly.
It'll change.
Yeah. It's probably 73 by the time you get there. Two quick questions. Number one, I believe Sebastian should have been fined 1 second for that bright yellow paint job on his car in St. Pete that blinded other drivers.
I think it was very noticeable. You knew when he was there.
You knew when he was there from the space station.
Well, that's probably true. It's interesting with the new bodywork. Sometimes it's hard to tell who you're racing,
right?
Because I got so used to looking at the bumper pods to be able to tell what color the car was and figure out who it was. This year, without those there, it's hard to pick it out.
And the second thing, when you win the Indy 500, Charlie, is Jim Campbell going to give you a mid-engine Corvette, a Corvette ZR1, or a Camaro ZL1? Which one do you want?
I'm not sure. I've always been a Corvette fan. The new Camaros, they just announced the parade cars for the Indy 500 that'll be driving around Indianapolis with the 500 Festival and being the Hot Wheels edition, bright orange with racing stripes. They look amazing. I've been a Corvette fan my whole life. My father-in-law has one. He lets me drive it when I'm a good son-in-law. And honestly, winning the Indy 500 would be a dream come true. They talk about it being life-changing. And the fact that I would get an awesome Corvette or Camaro out of it would be just icing on the cake.
Or a 77 Chevelle if you don't do as well as expected. That's the parting gift.
There was a consolation prize one year at Chevelle. That's true.
You get a participation trophy.
Exactly.
Charlie Kimble, Carlin Racing, man. It's great to have you here in the Motor City. We will see you at the Detroit Grand Prix and be watching this weekend. One last thing, real quick. Are you as excited about this NBC deal as I am? Because I think this is fantastic for the sport going forward.
I think it's a great move to have all of the broadcasting under one umbrella. And the fact that it's nearly doubling the amount of races that'll be over the air on broadcast television or network television starting in 2019, it's a good move. I think the positive momentum of the Verizon IndyCar Series is tangible and something that's undeniable. And the broadcast deal is just one more example of that.
Man. It's great talking to you as always, Charlie. We'll catch up soon. Enjoy the Pistons game tonight. You're going to love Little Caesars Arena. Thanks, bud.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right, there he goes. Charlie Kimble out the door.
Here he comes. Here comes the
They should come out to this. They really should. In the Garage Podcast, you can subscribe on iTunes. Next week, we'll have Stephanie Brindley in studio. We'll be talking about not only the New York Auto Show, the new EPA rules, how that affects the auto industry. Her perspective from that is from someone who's definitely what you would call an insider in the industry. And she just spent some seat time out on the West Coast in the new ZR1, the new Corvette with professional drivers. So we got a lot to talk about with Stephanie next week. Thanks for checking in.